Welcome to the Visual Storytelling Podcast. My name is Fred Ranger, and I'm so happy that you're joining us today for another inspirational conversation. Today, I have a special guest with me. Her name is Henriette Sagfor, and I butchered the last name. I practiced it before, but you know what? It'll be that. And Henriette is an award-winning photographer that suffered from depression at an early age, and she found photography and self-portraiture to express herself and be open about her mental health. Playing with lightning and narratives, her photos are emblematic of a lonely, dreamlike world, and I can confirm that her feed on Instagram is just one of my favorites. She finds inspiration to music, we'll talk about that, to reinterpret our surroundings and disconnect from the world. She's also an official ambassador for Leica. We'll have to talk about that too. Yeah. And she is currently based in Oslo, Norway. Henriette, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Fred. It's very, very kind of you.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to chat, because I've got so many questions for you. First off, for the people who don't know you, can you walk us through a bit of how actually you discovered photography? I mean, I did mention in the intro a bit of context, but how did you decide to invest more time, effort, and make it, you know, your creative outlet day in and day out?
Well, I've always run around with a camera ever since I was a kid. So I was always like interested in how to capture things that I saw, and I had an eye for details. But I used those, you know, those single film cameras when I was a kid, and then I got a point and shoot. And I started to take pictures of like flowers, you know, macro. That was my area of macros. And then I got a Canon camera with a lens that I could try different things. And I did take portraits of my friends. And since I grew up with concerts and festival, like music has a huge impact on my life. So I wanted to take pictures during concerts. Started to smuggle in and sneak in my camera to festivals and take pictures of them, and yeah, that's when I started at media communication at age 15 at high school.
Wow.
And yeah, that's just when I knew that I wanted to do photography full-time, like with passion for life.
That's cool that you found that at a very early age. You weren't undecided. You said, you know what, this is my thing.
Yeah, for sure. It just started actually with just taking portraits, and I tried to find my own style. And so I did use a lot of like my friends as models. And that's also when I discovered surrealism, like surrealistic portraits. And especially Kyle Thompson, he's a very like, he had a huge impact on me during that time. And I've always been fascinating about Photoshop, like editing your own pictures. I had an uncle when I was like, before I started at school, who downloaded this editor program. And it was very bad, like you could hardly understand. I did a classical like New York picture, and it's black and white, and then you had the yellow cabs, just all the basics.
Cliche.
Very cliche. But you had to try it. You had to do some cliche
Absolutely.
Stuff to learn. And when I got a hold of Photoshop, I just sat at home like 6 to 8 hours a day just learning. And I created a lot of like surrealistic portraits, and that's also when I started to do self-portraits, because I didn't always have someone to take pictures of. And I'm a bit shy, like I don't like to give people high expectations, so when I take pictures of them I get a bit nervous, because I don't want to what's the word called, I don't want to disappoint them.
Yeah.
with a result. So that's why I did a lot of self-portraits. And I come to learn that I could use my own emotions through pictures, because I was struggling a lot during that time with depression. I started to get around like 14 years of age. And I also struggled a lot with talking about it, like telling people how I had, like how I was, and about emotions and feelings, being like vulnerable in general. So I used portraits to get a hold, like express myself, and people started to question about it because they did notice my melancholic style a little bit, like. It was very moody, you'd say. Like, I get up very early, I get around during the fog time, it's very like dark, and it's not happy pictures. I usually never smile. I smile a lot in real life.
Yeah, but right now you're usually smiling.
I usually don't smile at pictures. Like, every time someone starts, like every time I do my own portraits, I'm like dead serious. I listen to sad music, and just when I edit my pictures too, I listen to sad music. And that's how I get in the mood to take these pictures as too. But it all started just doing the self-portraits, actually. That's where I find my style.
And how would you describe the experience of learning through self-portraits? Because I think there's a lot of photographers out there who don't know where to start to photograph themselves. To your point, it might sound easier to do it, but I guess it's real hard, even technically. How do you even, you know, compose a photo with you in it? And how do you come up with a concept? And am I smiling? Am I not smiling? I know for myself, when I'm in front of the camera, I don't know what to do with my hands. I look stupid and stuff. So, help us with those self-portrait tips, please.
Main part is doing it by yourself. I get very anxious and uncomfortable when I see people, like if there's people around me watching me take pictures of myself, like I get so awkward. I never take like a phone selfie with people around me. I take like a, you know, the shoulder picture. That's me. Like, you can barely see half of my face and my shoulder. That's what you're getting from me if I send you a picture. So just being alone, that's your safe space. So that's also why I'm a lot around nature, or I could be in a room, just like you're alone and you have this tripod. I always use a tripod, and I used to have this remote to connect to the camera. Now I use an app for
the Leica app, right? And on Canon, you had that remote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all started like, because I used Canon before. Yep. And I had this flip screen, and I didn't have a remote. So I had this flip screen, and I had to kind of like put something up where I was going to stand, and I had to focus on it. And then I had to remove it. And then I had to look at the small, small screen to see if, like, am I standing correctly? Am I in shot? And then I had the remote. I have so many pictures that I just looked back at, like one by the, it's by a lake. And then there's like huge fog, and you see me by the dock, and my remote would only go 10 meters, so like shorter. So than
you had
like
a limit.
I don't even remember. So I had to stand as far away as I could possibly do, and I was just like looking for the red light. And then I saw the red light, and I just sprinted. So I look very relaxed in the picture, but yeah. I'm just like.
You're breathing heavily. So it would have been nice to have a documenting that whole process. It would be funny. Like, you look at the end result and you're like, oh my God, she was in deep thoughts. And so you were just trying to barely survive breathing, right?
I was catching my breath.
Exactly. That's so cool. So you did mention the use of different cameras and stuff. So, and I want to talk about your use of Leica, because I am I wrong saying that, and maybe this is just me loving the brand a bit too much, but I know you're also a Leica ambassador, so you must like it too. But do you find the tool that you use inspiring versus other tools that you might have used in the past? And actually, why did you decide to buy these, we'll say it, expensive cameras?
I'm not a very like technical person. The only time that I really like, I noticed that I really enjoy the camera if I don't have a problem with it. Like if something doesn't occur all the time that's that I'm having issues with it. But I really do love the Leica. It has everything that I need in a camera, and it's so sharp. And one of my favorite features is very like silly, and it's it's when you can see the like the red lines for where you focus to just get that very sharp. Oh yeah, I fell in love with that. I was like, wow, you can look at this.
You can see exactly where you focus.
Yeah, because I had so much troubles with my Canon camera when I got back home and I looked at the picture and it was out of focus. It was very frustrating.
So do you use again, don't want to get too technical, but you use like a high aperture, you know, like f8, f11, so everything is sharp, or you like that blurriness? I mean, I know some pictures are more, you know, sharp all the way than others on your feed, but what's your preferred, when you do self-portrait at least?
I'm usually never over 5.6.
Got it.
I'm always below it.
Okay. So you do like that bit of, you know, depth of field and bokeh in the background. Nice. So speaking of creating art with your camera, you develop a certain style, and I invite everybody to click on the link in the show notes, because Henriette has, again, one of my favorite feed on the whole internet. So and I'm not joking here. But how for young photographers who are looking up to you, saying, how do you define a style? How do you come up with a style? And how do you, you know, how can you be consistent and be recognized for a certain style of photography?
Oh, that's a very difficult question, because I think if I'm supposed, like, if I should give a recommendation, it would be find something that you really enjoy, like find an artist that you really, really enjoy the style, and try to copy their style, like try to do their style. That's how I learn. Like, if I want to try different styles, like photography, like street photography, I look at different photographers. Like, I love Bruce Gilden, but I'm not that kind of person. Like,
you're telling me you're not going with a flash and like at two centimeters of people's face? I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm too shy for that. but if you want to create a style, just find something that you really enjoy and try to learn your own style from it, because the more you do it, the more you develop your own thing.
Yeah, that is so true, and there is value in failing a lot, right? So having those blurry images and the composition is not right, and the colors are not exactly, you know, dialed into your preference. And I agree that inspiration is probably the fuel of any creative mindset or any creative endeavor. For you, is it more books that you look at, videos, online? Like, what's your mix of inspirational tools, I should say?
There's a lot of books, for sure. And I see a lot of the pictures on Instagram or on internet in general.
Yeah.
But films are also very, very inspirational. For example, like, I just recently watched Blade Runner, the second one.
The sequel, yeah.
Yeah, I was mind blown. I feel like I missed out on something. But, you know, you see some films that you're just like, wow, okay, this catches me. I want to create something that like makes this feeling. Like Twin Peaks, for example, like the mysterious, the strangeness of something. And you kind of want to recreate it.
Would you say that the photos that you publish on your feed, at least, represent a portion of you? Because they're not all self-portrait, right? I see you working with, I don't know if they're clients or models at the end of the day. And you also have some drone shot, which you've won awards for. I saw that on your website, so congrats on that. And also you've got some landscape in there. So what's... you know, what's the angle, and again, does it represent a portion of you or a portion of your, you know, how you think in your head and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think everything that I posted on my Instagram and my my homepage is just ideas that I have It's not clients, it's not their thing, it's my own ideas and just what I create. I want to like make this dream world my own, like vision of things, and I want to capture something that you can't just see with your eyes. I think that's that makes it more interesting, like creating fog or just adjusting the tones. For example, I make a lot of the foggy pictures like very like green.
Yeah.
But it's not like that in real life.
No, very cinematic. I don't know if that's a word anymore it's been galvanized a bit, but you also like, and again, I will use the word in bracket, but to provoke something from the watcher, I don't know how to say that, the person watching the or looking at the image. You even have some content on there that is how did they say it, sensitive content that Instagram wants you to be prepared for before you look at it. So can you talk about that and what's the angle here? And why is Instagram not letting you post these photos or not at least in the same way of the others?
That was a story. I'm calling it Red Room, but it originally is called like in Norwegian it's called Hore med hagle.
Nice.
And that's like hooker with a shotgun.
Well, that's pretty direct, pretty graphic, yeah.
And I just wanted to like adjust the name so it sounded a bit more mysterious and not like, yeah. So for that story, I wanted to create a fancy hooker, you'd say, in a shady motel room. And I wanted to create a scenery where she had killed the person. Because I was inspired by a title of a song, which is called Hore med hagle.
In Norwegian? A Norwegian song or English?
It's someone I know that made this song. So nice. I just like the phrase just catches me.
Mm.
So I know it's a bit gory because I used fake blood, and that's why it got.
That's what triggered the butts on Instagram too.
Yeah, I didn't know that actually before. Like later, like much later, I was like, oh wow, it's sensitive, and I think it's a bit fun because I use like fake drugs, but I used alcohol in it, and there's fake blood. So and there's a shotgun too, but it's not like a real shotgun.
No, of course. And I think what Instagram did is probably the right thing, which is letting people know that what they're about to see might contain graphic or violent content. Which again, you didn't film a real violent scene, but you created one. It's like, you know, it's like a movie. Some violent movies or some movies suggesting that people are getting killed and stuff are not being banned, and thank God, because it's a story and it's something that you might enjoy or not to look at. So that's but it's just interesting because you're probably one of the only, maybe with I have a couple of boudoir photographer friends that get a lot of these, you know, preface or message from Instagram, but this, I mean, I think it's your only one that has that, so I was curious to know about the why Instagram decided to do that. You talked
probably
about
probably because the fake blood.
Yeah, I agree. It looks very real though, so kudos on the prop and propping the scene.
Thank you.
So let's talk about music. I think you and I are a bit the same. We like photography. We like music. I actually play music. I don't know if you play an instrument on your end.
Play guitar.
Oh, but voila, there you go. I have several guitars here. I was in a band for 12 years. So I guess this is why we connected so rapidly on a lot of topics. But talk to me about how music fuels and also is present in your photography or your storytelling.
It's just like, I listen to music to get this sense of feeling. Like it's difficult to explain because it's such a huge part of my everyday. So, but music is very important, like in the sense that it gives you feeling. It's an expression. It's Yeah, it's just, it gives you a lot of feelings. And yeah. I want to create that feeling that I get from the song, from the music in my pictures. So I do listen to a lot of music when I go out and look for places or when I'm taking pictures. Sometimes I've forgotten to take out my earbuds when I'm taking pictures. I'm like, oh shit, sorry. And I always listen to music when I edit my pictures. And it's always this moody, like sad kind of music, because I can't listen to like happy songs and create the dark tones.
So do you have a playlist with you at all time that you can just activate and then boom, you're into creation mode?
Yeah. Definitely.
Nice. I will ask for that playlist after the show.
And I will share.
Thank you. Thank you. I have the same, by the way. I create playlists based on mood, places, events and stuff. So yeah, I guess that's an interesting way of looking at it. Some people actually don't like to put any sound or any music in their ears. They want to be, they want to see and hear and smell and, you know, the elements that are around them. But for me, music just gets me going. So I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, and if you're shooting a street, or you need to concentrate. I'm highly sensitive, so if I listen to a lot of other different sounds, like people yelling, screaming, I don't know, talking, like, it puts me out of it. I had to listen to music to really like go into my own little bubble.
Yes. So what personal project versus work, right? So you work as a photographer also. You don't just do personal projects, if I understand correctly, right?
I've done a lot of different things. It's very hard to live off, like, to do photography as a living.
Yeah.
Especially if you're doing art. So I just recently worked for a magazine here in Oslo. And it kind of kills your creativity. If you do photography as a living, and you always have people telling you what to do, when you had to do a lot of Photoshop editing but you don't like the pictures, like, and then you don't want to use your time on your personal projects. And I've heard that from other photographers too, that the creative part, like their personal project in general, kind of dies out.
And this is so true. You're saying so many people are taking to Twitter or YouTube and talk about creative burnout and the fact that they don't have time to shoot their personal project. They buy a camera to entice them to do personal projects like an X100V or Q2, whatever. So that's not looking good for them, because if you need to buy more gear to do personal projects, then it's because it's broken. The process is broken. So I completely agree with you. But at the same time, you know, some people are so passionate about it that they don't want to do anything else but taking photos, even if it's, you know, it means that you're all weekend and you're doing weddings or doing whatever photography work. But I agree with you that if you have that luxury, I'll call it luxury, of being creative on your own personal projects, but also not having to burn out on being a photographer, that's kind of the best of both worlds, at least, I guess, for you and for people like me that are not 100% or 150% into making a living out of photography. Any,
yeah. Because I've tried, I did a job that gave me a lot of money for it. It was nice, but the pictures were so boring. Like, I had troubles like editing the pictures because I was so bored. I had to take multiple breaks and I had a deadline to keep to, but I was just, I hated it. I hated it so much. And I tried to tell myself, like, you're earning from this. This is paying your rent. This is paying for your food. This is everything. But I hated it. And then I didn't want to take pictures for myself. So I kind of need to find a balance. And I don't think if I were supposed to live from it or do it as a living, like full time, I think my photography would die out, the art part.
It's hard. Yeah, I agree. And a lot of people, especially during the pandemic, decided to do something else, right? Because there was no work. Imagine, it's already tough to make a living when things are going fine. But when there's a worldwide stop of the world, then it becomes, you know, not even something you can do anymore. So, but let's go back to personal projects. So how do you decide to do a series? Do you have a certain amount of, like, do you allocate a certain amount of time, certain amount of picture, or is it completely open, completely free, and you've got, you know, multiple series that you work on?
I'd say it's very open. Like, I have one project that I've been working on for 2 or 3 years now, and I have like a lot of pauses and breaks from it because it's very exhausting. But other projects, like small series, for example, the Red Room, or I'd plan out this series, which pictures I want to take from, like, do for this series, and I scribble down, like, I do a lot of drawings. I think that's important. That's very important for people to draw your ideas. That's very important. And then I just go out and do my shoot for the series. And I don't know, it's just more of a feeling that I'm done. More of a, like, a feeling than just, okay, now I did 12 pictures, now I'm done.
Yeah, I like that that approach. Again, it's no constraint, and when you feel you're done, then you're done. And do you allow yourself to say, you know what, I thought I was done, but no, there's more to that story or more to that project. But your projects usually involve models, right? So you work with friends, or how do you find those actually great models? Because every time you put a story up, I'm like, wow, this casting, quote unquote, was brilliant.
I usually find them through social media, like on Instagram, but most of them are actually friends. I have some close friends that I always, like a couple that I take pictures of often, Herman or Annika. It's more of like, I call them and I'm like, I have an idea. They're like, we're done. We're going to do it. I'm down. And I'm like, I haven't told you the idea yet. And they're like, no, we're done. We're down for it. So that's fun.
They're like, what waterfall are you bringing us to, or what landfill are you bringing us to for that?
I'm more like, okay, so you're gonna bring your clothes, yeah, and you have to swim with them, and they're like, okay,
and then,
like,
you'll have to remove, nice, your clothes from one picture.
But yeah, and then you're gonna be nude.
Exactly.
And
you have to be, but let's talk about that. So there is some, I wouldn't call it nudity, but some I guess it's an odd to the body. And not the perfect body, which is, I think, something very important in this day and age, because there's so many trends about, you know, perfect body and stuff like that. And you go against that trend. And I want to commend you. I want to say that I have a tremendous amount of respect for you, because you go against that trend. Not you personally, but I say, like, in general with your photography. I don't want to talk about anything specific. But talk to me about the body and how important it is in your storytelling and your photography.
I use a lot of nudity because nudity is more vulnerable and it's very natural.
Yeah.
That's the main part. It's very natural. And I don't want to edit anybody's. Like, I don't want to make them slimmer. And I don't usually choose models that have this six pack or just like, super, you know, those with a huge tits or just like everything of that. I'm just not very fond of it because it puts a lot of pressure on the natural and unnatural body stereotypes. So I'd rather want someone who's not too much of anything, if that makes sense.
Totally makes sense. Yes. And it's more about the soul, you know, that you're capturing in the pure essence of being a human. I think that's how I would describe it. And also just life as it is, as you see it. So that's something that's also interesting. Drone photography, Henriette, when did you started that and why? I mean, this is so cool. I mean, I'm looking at some shots where I'm like, wow, thank God she has a drone in her hands, because she's creating some very unique perspective. How do you came about to using drones in your photography?
I've always been a bit geeky on like robots and drones. I had like a small like helicopter drones when I was a kid, and like dinosaur robots. I was I was very geeky, and it kind of stayed with me, I'd say. I just love a new perspective because I'm very short. I'm like 5.1 feet. That's 156 centimeters.
That's precise.
So, yes. And so being short and having a drone to like really go up there, it's a whole new world. And I can't get enough of it. I love using a drone. And especially filming with a drone. I did the one in Iceland where I was alone. And I filmed myself through 11 days.
Nice. What would you say, is there a destination that you went to that you're like, wow, I need to come back. I need to spend more time in this destination. I mean, we talked about France a little bit earlier before the show, but what's a location, and can be also home if that, for that matter of fact, but that you want to go back and document and create visual stories there?
Iceland, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I've been there twice, but I want to see every season of it. And it's just one of those perfectly amazing places. It's so surreal to be there. It has everything.
And it's so different, right, than anything you can see anywhere in the world.
That's why I chose it for the film, because I wanted it to be like this woman in red searching through an abandoned land, like a huge and strange, and you have all these weird shapes as well. It's amazing. It's one of my favorite places. And coming from Norway and saying that Iceland is like the prettiest place you've ever been, that's huge words.
Yeah, because Norway is not too shabby either.
No, not at all.
Yeah. Let's talk about that film. So short film that you created, visually, I don't have any other words than stunning. It's incredibly deep and it's incredibly beautiful. What was the idea behind it? And how did you decide to take that challenge of saying, you know what, I'm gonna produce short film today?
I've always been interested in filming, but I never saw that I could create what I create in pictures in a film. But the idea for that project was, it's a bit like a small like heartbreak, I think. It's very cliche too, but you know, I was a bit like sad, and it was like
well, you have to take negative things and turn into creative things. That's what we do.
Yeah, for sure. And I wanted, like, I was listening to this. You pronounce the name of the song better than me. Just the Jan Tiersen song. Help me.
Yeah, I'm the Jan Tiersen song. Wait.
Very song? Famous.
Let me look it up. Anyway, so you decided to go with that.
Yeah, it's a very emotional song. It's so beautiful, and it has a lot of it's like emotions throughout the whole song. It's very like building up, down. It's very visual for me to listen to it, I'd say.
So you were literally inspired by that music.
Oh yeah, for sure, for
nice.
Sure.
Nice.
I visualized this woman in red.
Yep.
In this landscape, just struggling, and having nature kind of force her down, and while still trying to, how do I explain this without sounding dumb? It's more like the nature's forces.
Yes. Force de la nature. And by the way, the name of the song, now it's coming back. It's Contine d'un autre été. Voilà.
Okay, I'm not going to say it either. I'm gonna practice in peace, like okay. When I'm totally alone.
but then send it back to us and we'll share with the listeners. No, I'm just kidding. so Henriette, just a question around what makes a good image? Because that's something that's so hard to answer. There's no right or wrong answer, obviously. But for you, and I love your perspective because you're a bit different than, you know, I interview a lot of street photographer, a lot of travel photographers, but you're a, I want to say, conceptual type of photographers, a real visual storyteller. So for you personally, when you look at work or your own work or other people's work, what makes a good image?
The most important thing for me with a good image is that it makes you feel something. That's also the thing with storytelling, that you want the picture to, the image to speak for itself. What makes the picture the strongest for me, especially is if I made a series, is that if I can take one of the pictures out and put it on the wall, it would kind of describe the whole series or the feeling by itself.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. Photography is about, you know, making people feel something. I think that that's bang on. And that's something that after shooting for so many years, that's what I'm after. That's what I'm chasing. And I'm happy to hear that most of my fellow photographers are not chasing likes or recognition or, for that matter, the latest gear. Although we're all a bit, you know, guilty sometimes of looking at gear and being like, would that help my photography? I think, to be honest, in the past 3 to 5 years, there's no bad cameras, there's no bad equipment. It's all good. Then it needs to be your eye. It needs to be your vision. It needs to be your passion. And again, making people feel something should be the ultimate goal. When I look at work that is meaningful to me, it's because I can either relate to the image or I can feel something that is negative, positive, but never neutral, right? So if that's what I don't like about Instagram. And I think you and I have been trying to take breaks from that platform that we hate to love or love to hate. And I will give it its fair share of recognition because Instagram is how we connected. And that's why we're talking today on this podcast. But I want to hear you out on social because I know you've had, you know, periods of time where you're like, Fred, I won't be around. So don't talk to me for 2 months and I'll be back and then we'll do the podcast. I'm like, okay. So, but what's your use of it and how do you see it in your ecosystem moving forward?
Well, it is difficult because social media is so great in so many ways. It's a way of getting new inspiration. It's a new, like, a way to connect with people, staying in a connection with people that you know already. And without it, I wouldn't get feedback for my work, for example. I would be, like, if Instagram were to vanish, I'd be a bit, like, lost at where I would supposedly post my pictures with and get all the feedback. So I kind of like social media in that way, but it's very overwhelming too, because you compare yourself when you see if you're having a period of time where you don't feel very creative and you don't produce a lot of images or you want to take pictures or anything, and all of the sudden you see all of the other photographers on Instagram like posting and having exhibitions and traveling to take pictures, and you feel so bad. It's like, okay, so I will never succeed to do that thing. So you kind of get destructive
completely,
on yourself too.
Completely agree. And there's this race for attention that is giving you quick fixes, right? So when you travel, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to share that scene. And people are like, oh my God, Ariette, you're such a nice scenery. This is so cool. But then you go back home and you feel like shit for the rest of the year. So I agree with you that it's a double-edged sword type of situation, and I think it's more positive than negative. And I've actually built a whole community with the use of social media. And again, remind people that's the reason why we're chatting today, you and I. And this is how I got in contact with Phil Penman, which is a big, you know, big deal in photography and on the Leica world too. Mm-hmm. So, but then looking at the feed and the way the algorithm are controlling our lives, there's something wrong with it. There's something, you know, we all know that if it's free, we're the product. But to what extent people understand that they are a product, they're being marketed to day in, day out, every second they spend on a platform is being used to resell the data to a brand, a company, including camera manufacturers, by the way. They're not different than any other business. So I think you're right. Taking breaks helps put things in perspective, helps reconnect in the offline world and, you know, send a good old text to your friend, not necessarily a Snapchat or whatever the platform you're on. So you don't get, you know, targeted through algorithms. But to your point, would you say that social media has also helped with building that brand or that ecosystem where, you know, companies like Leica reached out to you and said, hey, let's partner up? Was it done through social or was it done through another type of medium?
Yeah, actually, I got an email. And it was very strange because it was Jorunn from Leica here in Norway who contacted me. And she was like, we've been looking for a new Leica ambassador. And we'd like to have you as one of our ambassadors. And I started to laugh first. I thought it was a scam.
Yeah, you're like, look at those cameras using the at leicacamera.com. Wait, that's a real email.
Yeah, and I was like, what? And I was super overwhelmed because I'd never even used a Leica camera before. I had never even held a Leica camera. It wasn't on my mind because it's so expensive.
Wait, they reached out before you had a Leica camera in your hand?
Yeah, I've never used one.
What?
So, yeah. So they made me a Leica ambassador, and the cameras that I'm using, it's been given. I have not paid for it, so I feel very honored because it's super expensive.
Yeah, really expensive, and you really need to be committed to the gear because you don't just, you know, buy it and say, "Well, I'll see if I like it," you know.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing you liked it.
Yeah. I first got the Q2.
Yeah.
And I was a bit scared to be committed to 28mm.
Mm-hmm. How did that go for you? Because, you know, I guess you used an array of lenses on the Canon side. So how was it to stick with one lens? What was the experience?
I really like it. And it's fun to use, and it kind of forces you to move closer to the subject rather than just like staying at one place and just zooming. And since it's a bit wider, you have to play with the angles, and you can create so many different angles, like make an arm longer, for example, or just
in the corner. Yeah,
I actually very much enjoy it, even in the forest, because it makes me look a bit more smaller in the forest too, and other people, of course, and that's what I aim for, because I want to make the scenery of nature I want to make it bigger because it's so huge, and I want to, what's the word that I'm looking for? I want to praise the nature.
Yes. So be don't be kind of a photographer basically in the nature, be more conspicuous, like a little bit more discreet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In comparison, I think it's just very beautiful to have this nature landscape, but then you have like a small person to it. It adds so much to it. I really like it.
It's really
what I usually do.
Yeah, we really enjoy looking at those images too. So thank you for creating such beautiful art. And I would love to know what's next for you, right? Because you've been publishing all those great images, great photos. You're like ambassador. So do you have any aspiration? I know you've done some exhibitions too. So what's next for Henriette?
Tomorrow I'm going to Bergen because I'm going to have a masterclass there.
Well, there you go. That's not a bad way to start.
Not at all. So I'm trying to get more comfortable, like being in front of people. Like, for example, being here, just talking to you, doing this podcast. I've never done anything like it. And having talks in front of many people. I'm not usually the person that goes in front of people and try to tell it. Like, yeah, it's just difficult. I feel very, very honored.
Well, I can tell you, Henriette, you should do more of it because you're a natural. You don't, it's not force fit. You're not trying to read a script. You are very, that's the word I'm looking for, natural way of doing it. And you've got a lot of talent. And the shyness, believe it or not, I'm quite shy too, but I look like I'm a very outgoing, outspoken and stuff, but it takes a lot of energy to do it. But I like people and I like stories. So I go above and beyond to connect with creative people or just people in general and to get something from, you know, our discussion. And also if I can try to give back to the community, that's why I do what I do. So I again, coming from another creator of stories, I'm telling you, you should, consider it and spend more time doing it because a lot of people will benefit from it. You've done so many great things. You've had some failures, some successes. You've used photography as a way to evolve in life, and that is precious. That's something that not every single individual out there have as a background. But I know a lot of people will benefit from hearing your story. So kudos
for that. Yeah, because photography has helped me with depression in general. It's been a huge part of my therapy. Like if I experience something bad, I'll use it in photography, and it feels like I've just had a therapy session, to be honest. And it's also made me this very open person in general and honest, because I was not comfortable talking about how I was feeling or being vulnerable at all before I started doing photography as a passion.
Wow. This is very funny because I have a podcast episode that's called Photography as Therapy with a question mark at the end. So I think people should listen to it because it talks exactly about what you just said. And maybe we should have another session talking just about that, because again, there's so many people struggling with mental health, and I'm including myself in there. And I guess you just opened up about it too. So if we can help other people finding a creative outlet, doesn't have to be photography. It just happens that we use photography for it, but it could be music, could be anything, just something that puts the brain in a different mindset. It helps tremendously. So
if you're a creative person with struggles, you're having a gift because you can create something with that. Because being like sadness is one of the most true emotions that we carry, to be honest, because it's not something that we show to everyone. You don't usually walk the street and cry, you know?
Hopefully not. And if you are, please seek help rapidly.
No, but it's like, it's very vulnerable. It makes you very vulnerable. And a lot of people are afraid to show it. So if you can create something with it, it will help you a lot, like therapy wise. But it's just like, it gives so much. Because when you create something, you feel good about it. Sometimes you feel shit too, because it's like, oh yeah, that period
of time. It's part of the process. It's part of the process.
But then you do something dramatically and just burn the pitch and just like, oh, I'm so done with it. I'm kidding.
But you're right. That's the feeling of accomplishing something that's not meaningless. I think if you're accomplishing things that are meaningful for you, you've made your life worth it. I know it's big words right now, but I truly feel like that, and I truly believe it. And for me, I know the time I've been creative and I've been happy about the work I created, those are the best days of my life. It doesn't have to be very complicated. It doesn't have to be in an exotic destination and having the best time of your life. Sometimes it's just, I guess for me, and maybe you're a bit like me, but creating a bit of work that makes your life worth it and that makes it, you know, meaningful for you as a person, as a human being. So I guess we're getting deep in our conversation. We talked about like aperture value, and we went to depression and how photography can help. So I love how the conversation went from one topic to the other. But if people want to find out a little bit more about your work, Henriette, where would you send them first so they can discover the magnificent world of your photography?
Well, firstly, I'm very active on Instagram, because that's also where you can reach out to me. So if you have questions or you want to chat or talk to me, that's where I'm like that's where I am. And if you want to go to my homepage, that's also a more, that's where you can dive deeper into the world and the series. That's also where I've categorized my photography and the videos and everything.
Yeah, and again, I won't pronounce the but I'll put the link in the description so you can so you guys can click on it and access it very easily. So Ariette, I want to thank you for spending time with us this morning for me and this afternoon for you in Norway. You've been a very generous person. You've also shared a lot of insights that I think the listeners will enjoy. If you enjoy the conversation between Ariette and I, there are a plethora of other episodes you can listen to, including one that talks about, you know, photography as therapy. Just go back in the catalog. If you like what you're hearing, please give this podcast a 5-star review and share it with your friends. We're sure that a lot of people could benefit from conversations like that. And if you want to reach out to Ariette, she's on Instagram, on our website, and on all those platforms. And I'm Fred Ranger on Instagram, YouTube, fredranger.com, and this very podcast. And I promise you, I will reply to any questions you guys might have, or suggestions for that matter. Ariette, I wish you a very pleasant remainder of the week, and I'm sure we're going to connect shortly to discuss even more.
Thank you for having me, Fred.
Cheers.